to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Good Thursday morning to you, 34 minutes after the hour. Still to come on the program, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. That's about 30 minutes from now. And we'll close out the program today with former Governor Robert Bentley. That's in the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Hit us up there if you want to respond to anything you are hearing on the program this morning. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He's very kind to make time for us. He represents the folks up in Trussville. A lot of things going up on the Trussville. He's Scott Buttram on regularly, but he's his state legislator up there, also chairman of the Education Trust Fund in the House of Representatives, State Representative Danny Garrett. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. It's been a while.
It has. It has. How has the quote-unquote off-season been going for you?
You know, I'm not sure I've noticed an off-season. It's been very, very busy. We've had a lot of things to consider, things to look at. This economy is, you know, causing us to reexamine a lot of things. So we're doing a deep dive into state finances and looking forward budgets and a number of other things. Try to squeeze in a family vacation here or there. And but it's been a busy off season.
Well, I mean, it is, but I got to imagine it's probably even more in your new role. Well, semi-new role. You've been doing it for about a year now, but it's the ETF chair, and we're heading into a new legislature, a new quadrennium. So that's probably really just having these hearings and not the uncertainty in the economy more than anything, knowing where this is headed.
Yeah, you know, it's taken me back to college when I was taking my first economics courses, and the things that we learned back then, you can just throw out the window because we're such in a world today that you would not have recognized back then. And it's just incredible to see the decisions that are coming out of Washington and the policies and how they're impacting people. And I think there's some long-term problems that are going to be around for a while. And, of course, that trickles on down to all of us. So it's a crazy, crazy world. And just trying to get a grip on it and understand where we are is a challenge. And then where we're going is just who knows.
Representative, let's kick it off here. There's at least a push from Secretary Canfield to lift the cap on these economic incentives that have been a part, a staple in the Alabama economy for ever since going back to Mercedes-Benz and Vance there and it coming online. What do you think of that? You've been out on the front on a lot of this and the dollars and cents of it. Do you think that's something you guys will consider in this new quadrennium?
Well, first of all, I want to say that Secretary Canfield has done a great job as the Secretary of Commerce and bringing businesses to Alabama. And the things that he's put together, incentive packages he's put together, and all those things have been very effective. You know, I spent 30-plus years as a career chief financial officer, most of the time for manufacturing companies. And incentives like that were very important to us when we looked where we built new plants, where we relocated. And so those are important things, and we've had a lot of success. So I certainly want to continue to support those things that make sense. But I do think that we are in a transitional economy. We're moving, shifting to knowledge-based economy. And sometimes the type of businesses that we've tried to secure in the past, we want to continue to support those. But also there'll be a whole lot of new types of industry and businesses that we need to be looking at. And, you know, we only going to have so much money that we can allocate to incentives. And so we're going to have to make sure that we're considering all of those. He did request an unlimited or no cap on incentives. I would not support that. But I think we just have to make some smart decisions as far as how we spend that money. I'm also a little bit concerned about, you know, the problem we have in Alabama is a lack of a workforce. We're not growing the workforce, and it's great. That's what we really need to do is grow the workforce. And a lot of times, these incentives will help a company, but they're basically just cannibalizing other workforces. And as a small business commission chair, I hear this a lot. You know, you have a company that comes into the state and they're able to attract employees with higher wages and whatnot. But then that smaller business is left trying to scrounge around for employees. So long term, we've got to do things that are going to help keep businesses here, help them to expand, but help them. But ultimately, what can we do to grow a workforce? And that means we've got to create new jobs, just not move the jobs around.
Right. So, because the deal right now is, I mean, you have low unemployment. It's just that workforce participation rate. What do you do to get that on the uptick? I mean, is it really just a matter of the federal government getting out of the way and maybe some of these benefits going away? Or is it a matter maybe wages need to be? I mean, there's a lot of structural problems here, it seems like, because there's jobs. If you want a job, you could find it. But it just seems like there's not the incentive to go to work, or maybe I don't know what it could be, but that seems to be really where a lot of the complaints lie from the business community. It's just, we just can't find enough workers. How do we get that job participation number up?
Well, that's one thing that's changed that's just so hard to really understand. I've almost gotten to the point where I ignore the unemployment rate. We have a low unemployment rate, and that's great. Of course, back when I was in college, I learned that 4% unemployment was full employment. And in Alabama, unemployment is like 2.6%. But like you say, we can't get enough workers. And so the issue is the labor participation, because unemployment rate is a function of people who are out of work, who are looking for work. And in Alabama today, there's only about 60,000 people. But the big problem is labor participation. Nationally, I think the average is about 62%. Alabama labor participation is 57%. And at the peak, I think at one point we were 67%. But what that is, because able-bodied people who are out of work and are not looking for work. And I don't totally understand what happened, but I think part of what happened was when the pandemic hit, businesses shut down and the economy came to a halt and the government assistance came pouring in. A lot of boomers, which I am one, just left the workforce and have not gone back and are not going back. And that ultimately, I think, was going to happen naturally, but it would have been happening over a progression as opposed to just happen overnight. So that's part of it. And then I think there are a lot of people are still receiving this federal assistance in a number of ways. I saw a chart the other day that was presented that said that if you look at the federal assistance or government assistance to during the pandemic worldwide, the United States by far had injected more government assistance to those efforts than anybody else, like double the second number two, which was like the UK. And the dollar amount was about 28% of the United States GDP. That equivalent amount was what has been put into the economy for, during COVID, this COVID situation. And it's just, that's why we were just spent, what we're seeing, the inflation. People have got a lot of money that's been in the bank. Some of it's been spent, some of it's been saved and will be spent. But the federal assistance, they still pour in. Of course, Alabama, we've had over $60 billion of federal money come in, and it's still coming in. So I don't know, but that labor participation is a problem. How do you fix it? I think, one, you've got to grow the jobs. And one thing we've got to do, I think, the jobs that community colleges can help us with credentialing and the trade programs and things like that, there's certainly a need for that. But if you really want to grow the economy, we've got to grow the four-year people. Most of those, a lot of those, leave the state. And we need people like that to come to the state, people like that to be educated here, to stay in the state, and build those businesses and help us grow the economy that way. So I think there's a lot of approaches to it, but it's not just one or the other. You hear a lot of people today say we need to put more emphasis on the trade school, and I agree with that. But that's not going to solve the problem. We also have to have more retention of college graduates, and we need these knowledge-based jobs to come to the state, and that will help us.
Representative, let's talk about this. We had your counterpart, Senator Orr, the ETF chairman of the Senate. Really, his thing is some kind of tax relief, and he's got an idea about rebate checks, and whatever you think of that. But just more broadly speaking, looking at the state's coffers right now, pretty good. I mean, obviously, there's economic uncertainty, but right now it's sort of that surplus time. Everything that's coming into the state, it seems like, is all the obligations are paid, now you're collecting these revenues and they're going to the state coffers. Should there be a mechanism to give some of that back? You did a lot with tax, reducing the tax burden this last quadrennium. What do you think about that in the new year?
Well, I think absolutely. To the extent that we have a surplus, which we do, we should rebate some of that. I think the rebate's the better way to go. I do think we should look at some tax cuts and some tax reform. Some of that's difficult to do because of our Constitution and just because of a lot of, you know, technical things that get in the way, but I think we can get around some of those. But absolutely, to the extent we have a surplus, we should rebate some of that. I think it's highly likely that we will. The question is, we only went into session until March, so how much will that be? The last quadrennium and last year, what we've done is we've not spent all the money that we could have spent, all the money we received. And, of course, we also have a calculation that sets the amount of money that we can spend based upon our budget history. It's a formula. And we didn't, and that, you know, that sets a cap on what we can spend, and we didn't spend to the cap. We've been very conservative in trying to make sure that we, with all the uncertainty, that we did prudent and fiscally responsible things. So we have pretty much funded all of our reserve funds. They're all fully funded. We paid that. We supported and paid off that PAC program, which was had been a problem in the past. So we've done those things. We did provide tax relief for primarily for businesses, but also for some individuals. Individuals making less than $50,000 a year, and that retirees over age 65 who are drawn from a 401k or a defined contribution plan, exempting some of that income. So, and then prior to that, we'd also done something that was got real technical, but we changed the apportionment calculation for businesses. So, for example, if you had a business that you were located in Alabama and you sold outside the state, in the state and outside the state, you paid more Alabama tax than a business who was located outside the state that sold into Alabama. We corrected that. We also made sure that none of the federal payments or relief were taxed. So we did some things that were kind of chipping away at this at tax relief, and we're going to continue to look at that. That's part of what's going on in the off season is looking at the deep dive into some of those taxes we have and comparing it to other states. You know, overall, we are a lower tax state. We're low on, very low on some taxes. We're higher on others. We're trying to look and see what really makes sense for us. But I think clearly with the federal money and coming in and people spending the money, we're going to have budget surplus. And I do support rebating some of that. And hopefully it will be an amount that will, not be diminished from today. So what I think it might be is when we get to March. But there's a lot of uncertainty out there, so we'll have to be careful. But I think it's highly likely we'll see a rebate of some kind.
Well, let's wrap it up on this. Talk about economic uncertainty. Talk about education budget, inflation, the dollar not going as far as maybe when you budgeted that we initially had thought. I mean, a lot's changed since the budgets were passed this year. Where do you think you're at right now? What are you hearing from around the state? Or what are you going to have to do? Is there going to have to be something to compensate for that maybe later down the road?
Well, I think, obviously those are all considerations. And the general fund agencies are already having hearings this summer. Chairman Albritton and Chairman Klaus have been holding hearings for these state agencies to try to figure out what they're doing to try to get ahead of the inflation and how it's impacting them and kind of setting them up that we have a limited ability to address that, although we can address it. We'll have to address some of it. We have a limited ability to do so. As far as education budget, I think that we've got to be the same thing. The one thing that frustrated me when I came to Montgomery was as a CFO in the business world, we always budgeted based on priorities. And, when you get to the state level, a lot of times you're just budgeting that's not necessarily the way you budget. And I think we have this opportunity now last budget year and I think going forward to look at really these areas that really are the most in need, particularly like in education. We have an education gap, and rather than just continue doing what we've done in the past, let's try to strategically target some of our funding to these efforts that can really move the needle from the state. We have some great school systems. We have some school systems that really struggle. And so what can we do to help those systems? There's a whole lot of things we can do. But I think that placing budget priorities, we're going to have to do that. You make your worst business decisions based on financial decisions when you have a lot of money. And so I think we've got to be careful that we don't just, do things that just don't make sense. Secure the state, going forward, we need to do that. But also I think we've got to, from the education front, be very strategic in how we spend this money. The inflation is going to be a challenge. We're going to have to address and deal with that. But we're going to have to, make sure that we're doing things that are going to help change the trajectory of the education outcomes in the state.
Representative, I've got to leave it there. You've been very, very generous with your time, very kind to come on, and hopefully we can talk again real soon.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate talking to you.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5.